Morning. I'm good, how are you? I like your hat.
Thank you. Lovely. Yeah, I'm suffering from serious FOMO everywhere.
It's so bad.
It is. And by the way, I'm just recording everything and we're just gonna go with it and see what happens.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm totally FOMO. Like, I'm watching everything and I'm just sitting here going, yep. And I'm not allowed to go to the park.
I know. The park thing really got to me. I'm like, what is the world coming to? Well, did I tell you we had the cops show up last night?
No.
Yeah. So we've had the same family. That it's been our bubble family, like since the beginning of COVID, the exact same family, they have kids, same thing. So every, you know, it's just the people that we hang out with. So last night we went to their place and we were pulling up and we know they've had problems with a certain neighbor. And when we were pulling up, we saw the neighbor pull into their driveway and we're like, oh no, let's just wait in the car. But our kids jumped out. So then 45 minutes after we were there, we saw a cop car pull up and we're like, no way. And then we hear a knock on the door. We're like, no way. So yeah, he's like, we have like, you know, gatherings, this and that. We're like, oh, okay. Oh my gosh. There's like six kids here watching an Avengers movie. And like four of us here just hanging out, having a glass of wine on a Saturday night at night. Like, really? And he's like, yeah, like, you guys have to, your company has to leave. Like, oh my gosh. So we had to leave behind the cop. Like, I felt so criminal. And it's our bubble family. It's not like it was a big party. And I don't know. I couldn't believe it. It felt like a very surreal world to me.
That's crazy. So if this does actually make it to our final podcasting here, just so anyone in the States knows right now, Ontario has like doubled down on the lockdown. So Regular lockdown wasn't enough. So we had to go to super supreme, like we're communist lockdown. We're like.
And people can anonymously call on their neighbors.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Which I'm sorry, but most of the people would never do this. No. But you get that one rotten neighbor who I couldn't believe that happened. Who just, I don't know.
And we're the people, we wear masks, we follow all the rules, we do all the stuff we're supposed to do. It's just like, oh, it's gotten overwhelming. And I know that everybody's had enough. Everybody's fed up. You can read it all over online. It's crazy, man.
I do think most people are being pretty good about it. Yeah. Like people aren't throwing massive parties and stuff, but you kind of have your people that you've always kind of been around since the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of your safe place. And like, I don't think for the most part, especially where I live, people aren't going crazy, but to go out of your house and see a friend on a weekend, like I don't think that's taking it too far at all. And that's kind of where, for the most part, I think people are at. So to have the cops called on us, it just felt so wrong. And then to have to explain it to my kids, like they're 5 and 7, and they're like, are we in trouble? Like, are we going to jail? Like, and they're so confused. I was like, oh, and then we have to really sit down and like, okay, I guess we kind of did something wrong. Like, and they were just so confused. So, and that's where I felt bad because my son, especially like Mason, is very like black and white, right and wrong. So then like today he's been kind of afraid to leave the house.
Oh God. You know, it's funny. I can do you one better here. So I am technically not allowed to have my daughter over because she lives with her mother and we're not in the same household technically. So if they were to ask for her, like if she was to come here and they were to ask for her license, she technically doesn't live at my house. So that's technically against the rules.
Really?
Yeah.
Even if you're her dad?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, serious FOMO. I've seen all this stuff going on in the States and I'm like, I'm going through like times and watching people race and I'm just sitting there going,
I know. I just had the cops called on me. You're racing.
You're
I can't.
You know what? I didn't give you a name, so we will. I think we need to call you like the Fleet Felon, because obviously you have the cop on you. So
yeah,
definitely a felon, fleet-footed felon. There you go. Oh yeah. So you know what though? Some of the stuff was really cool, and I mean, we haven't done just anything with just you and I for a while. We had some great interviews with David Magida, which has got a great response and really good, and as well as Rachel Schreiber, which we were just lucky enough to happen to. She agreed to come on and she won. Wow, great.
I know.
Go back and watch those. They're really good. Really fantastic. But since then as well, there's been another DECA fit and stuff. And I wanted to kind of briefly mention back from the High Rocks. I mean, we didn't really go over who all, like, the standings, right? So essentially, just the men, Hunter One, Magida, Eric Hinman, Alex Ronkovic, Matt Kempson, Killian, Elijah Muhammad, Matt Martin, and Grant McCartney. We kind of knew that for the men. Now, the cool part about that that doesn't get mentioned a lot is Dylan Scott.
Yes.
So you want to go through that? You know Dylan Scott?
I don't know him, but I did look him up. Yeah, because he had the third fastest time overall. So he would have been third in that heat. So, yeah. And it was also his rookie High Rocks experience as well.
Yeah. And if we know anything, he'll probably knock a couple minutes off at the next one. So he'll be a legit contender in Chicago. Yeah. Which the funny part is, and I'm trying to figure this out, and I don't know why, and we mentioned it with David, is he's the only one in that heat that actually qualified to run in Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
I don't understand that. So, yeah.
I think because it was an invitational. I mean, it's a little screwy. I think High Rocks is going to fix that. I reached out to them to just ask them specifics. I imagine they're going to flip-flop on that one and change that. I mean, High Rocks is supposed to be a time to time, right? Like,
right. It's an objective thing that way, right? So, because it's just a time.
And I think the even cooler part of it is that, and this is not 100% for sure, but you and I have both qualified to run in Chicago.
I have.
Because we won our age groups at the VCF.
Oh boy, I have to do it again.
No, we won. We've already qualified to go to Chicago. Not that we can go, because we probably will still be locked down, but we qualified to run Chicago, and Magida has not.
Oh, so, my gosh. Okay, they'll fix that for sure.
I hope so.
When is Chicago?
Oh, is it?
July?
Or the crack research staff is on it. We're going to get the exact date.
Okay.
But
maybe we'll be able to cross the border.
Maybe. I mean, fingers crossed. But, you know, who knows? But the other part of that, too, and someone else I want to talk about, same thing, but on the women's side. So we had Rachel Schreiber, Becca Hammond, Lauren Weeks, Corinna Coffin, Alyssa Hawley, Sarah Harrison, Faith Cook, and Brooke Bowen. And again, it cannot be stated enough. And what was an awesome race and an awesome field. But coming in just behind Sarah Harrison is Heather White. So Heather White again. So she
was in a different heat, though. She was
because she was in the regular pro heat, and so she won the regular pro heat, and that was her first High Rocks as well. So she put in a time of 119. Oh, sorry, 118. So she was High Rocks Chicago, June 26th.
Okay, we're probably not going to be able to.
Probably not. Good news is I might be doing commentary.
From there? From your house?
From my house, the same where I did the last commentary. Yeah. This exact room.
It's like peering over the fence.
Yeah. So anyway, so I kind of wanted to talk about Heather White a little bit. Heather White actually watches and listens and is I don't know what she's a listener, a viewer, whatever. But not only did she win they would call that the pro heat, not the invitational heat. Not only did she win that, but then this weekend at DECA, she came second in the women's elite heat there as well. Yeah. And that was her first DECA. So, I mean, she's on a roll. But again, on top of that, and I don't know if everybody's seen this yet, but just Saturday, we put out, she won an OFX throwdown.
Yeah.
And she won a High Rocks entry. So, I mean, Heather is on her.
Yeah, to Chicago for the
World. So she will be able to use that to go to Chicago.
Awesome.
So,
keep an eye out for her then.
Heather's on a roll. Great person. And if you ever get a chance, you know, to see her race, she's fantastic. Super strong girl. I've raced against her a few times and just she has been crushing the workouts, just working really hard. She's super strong. Very impressed.
Nice.
So, yeah, I was really impressed with Dylan Scott and with her. Fantastic. And might as well go through DECA, what happened there. That was DECA in Atlanta. So mm-hmm. this is the second actual DECA fit. And we had Preston Burnett for the men, then Josh Hicks and Noel Medina, I believe, and Tara Jackson, Heather White, and Rachel Waters. Rachel, another great athlete that I'm really familiar with. She came in third there. And apparently her and Heather had a great battle, and it would have been even better. But Rachel made a little bit of a wrong turn at one point and cost herself some time
Oh,
there.
Really?
But yeah, they would have been neck and neck across the line for second. So, and they are also really good friends. So that's really cool to see.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But so I was thinking, and I mean, I've been kind of making comparisons in my head to the way the two events are gone. And I have my ideas of how they compare. I'm curious as to your thoughts. Like, how do you compare the two? What do you think of each one different? You know, how they differ? What do you like about one, don't like about the other?
DECA DECA Fit and Hyrux.
Yeah.
Well, obviously the biggest thing that I see though is the DECA Fit just has much lighter weights. So, cause when I, like we saw this with Renee Medavie. So obviously a phenomenal, phenomenal world-class runner. But when it came to the sleds, she could barely move them.
Yeah.
So when the DECA Fit weights, you're not going to get that. The average functional fitness hybrid type athlete will be able to move the DECA weights no problem. Not no problem, but it's not going to be as much of an issue. Like when Renee hit that sled, it was like she hit a wall. Like she couldn't move it. I think she did. I don't know. I think there were some issues that she might not have done the full distance with it because it was four lengths. I'm not sure yet, but yeah, you're not going to see that. But the Hyrux weights are just so aggressive.
Yeah, and she put out there.
Yeah, and even like David Magida was saying how he gassed himself on the sleds. And it's early in the race, so if you get a little bit overconfident with them or you push them a little bit too hard, it's kind of a make or break. And I just don't think that with the DECA event that it's going to be a make or break at all. And then you have your shorter run. So 500 meter versus a kilometer, it's so fast and short. You're talking 90 seconds to 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Versus a kilometer, like you're hitting it what much more fatigue with a kilometer repeat than you are the 500 meter. So yeah, I don't know. It's definitely a different type of athlete.
I was thinking too, and as far as Renee goes, I mean, she kind of came out and she had mentioned this even beforehand. So this was not like a, you know, racer excuse or whatever, but she had some serious stomach issues. She was not feeling well. Her whole family kind of went through, maybe they ate something bad or whatever the case may be. But so yeah, on a better day, maybe she would have been able to push that sled a little bit better, but still you're absolutely right. An athlete like her with her stature, that's going to beat her up. Whereas DECA, she did really quite well. For some trouble on the bike, I think she might have won that one, but she seems to be a little hard luck that way. she'll figure it out though, I think. For me, the biggest, like, because I mean, I'm seeing it from a bit of a different angle. Hyrux has really great presentation. Like, I mean, the venues look really good. The everything they do is very professional looking. It's really well done, and the event is really well done too. It's a great race. I really really like it. But I think, yeah, it is a little more limited, and I don't like, here's the problem that gets me about Hyrux right now is, yes, they have these awesome stats and these awesome records, and I love that crap.
Yeah.
But it's not legit because it's set up differently each time, right? Like there can be two laps, it can be three laps. You can, you know, you might be running straight through the rock zone. You might be around the rock zone, set up differently every time. And I think that really limits it as far as the records. And that's why I'm not putting as much stock in times as I would have before, knowing now that they can be so different, and more interested when kind of getting ready for races, seeing them and seeing head-to-head matchups. You know, that's where I think it's almost more important. Or if you go really deep into the stats and then you take out the rock zone times and stuff like that. Like Jack and I, we went through it with Matt as well, where, you know, two laps, and then there's some, I can't remember which race it was, but it was over in Europe, and people were putting in 1 minute sled pushes, you know, like it was,
what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, and I brought it up on Matt's podcast. By the way, if you want to see that, check out Obstacle Racing Media, me, Matt and Jack sit down and go through all the numbers. But, Sarah Colty, who has the fastest women's time, she said it, again, I can't remember exactly where, in Europe, and she had like a 1:11 something sled push or something along the lines. Everybody that day had these monster sled push times. So, I mean, the carpet was obviously different. Something was, you know, as Megidda referenced, the slip coefficient was low because everybody was getting these huge record sled push. So you got to kind of throw that out and guess because it's not the same. And that's somewhere where sadly, like, I don't want to say sadly because I like DECA too, but I think that their setup is better. It's more consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. More standardization across the board.
Yeah. With that 500 meter loop.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they seem to lay it out similar each time, which seems to be better, but man, they need to figure out Hyrox's glitz and glamour and glitz and glamour. They need to get their presentation.
Yeah.
Showmanship. And I mean,
Hyrox is so tricky because Hyrox is geared towards, and this is one of their things too, for your athlete in their off season. So generally your winter season, which means it has to be indoors. That's kind of what they've said. So now you need a facility that can have a big enough running loop that can have all of the stations on the inside. So to find somewhere, ideally, it's a 500 meter loop. So now it's a massive facility. So if you don't have that, like they had on the weekend, now you're having shorter loops. And like what David Megidda was saying too, when you have like you're a rectangle, now you're talking sharp turns. And every time you're turning, you're having to, you're moderately slow down and accelerate, slow down, accelerate. And now that changes everything. So I think just with the format that they've picked, it leads to problems and they'll figure it out. It's still new. So they can work this out in a way that they can help to standardize it. But yeah, it's just that 1 kilometer indoors is really tricky.
Yeah. Everybody knows my 400 meter theory and I'll never waver off that. But what I was thinking, if I was running Hyrox, what I would consider doing, because they're set on the 1000 meters and that's cool, make it 250 meter loops. And that way, no matter what the venue is, the size of it, you can do it the same every time.
But you can't, I don't know if with that distance, you could fit all of the stations inside.
But they didn't last time, right? They had the loops go almost through the stations anyway. So as long as you set it up the same every time, it doesn't matter how you set it up, as long as you're consistent. That's the way I feel about it. And then you can start writing down your records and your, you know,
so they need to find out then what is the bare minimum space that they could make this work. And they have the exact same number of loops and everything is set up. Yeah. So that's just going to be the process they're going to have to get through maybe.
And like you say, they're growing. We'll see. We'll see. And again, nitpicking, love Hyrox. Fantastic.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And DECA is the same, but I was impressed with the way they set up DECA. I was impressed with everything they do except for, I don't like this.
What?
Easiest event in the world to cover, to do a live stream.
Oh, I know.
Nothing. Yancey, love you to death, buddy. Love you to death. You've done an amazing job. This is a great product. I'm not going to go off like I hear people going on. Like, I can't understand too many different DECAs. I get confused. You know what? That's garbage. You know, we figured out Spartan Sprint, Spartan Super, Spartan B, Spartan Ultra, Spartan 24 Hours, Spartan Cross, Spartan Hurricane Heat. We can tell what all those are. We can figure out, you know, Strong Mile and DecaFit. It we do have that capacity. There's nobody don't run that. But for God's sakes, just have a dude with a phone cover this thing.
I know.
They have, and I'm watching. They got cameras everywhere and good cameras too. Like they're everything.
Are the cameras just for pictures?
Yeah, pictures, little Instagram clip videos, everything like that. Everything is there to be done. You saw what we did with Hyrox. 4 guys, 2 guys with cameras, 2 guys commentating. We covered the whole thing. And Hyrox is a lot harder to cover than
in your house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Jack was in California. I was in Ontario. The other 2 guys were in Dallas. And we pulled it off with
it was great.
Basic software and cell phones.
Yeah.
You can, DECA, you can do it. I mean, honestly, just ask somebody there.
Call Dave.
Yeah, call me. I'll commentate. Have somebody there, you know, pull them off the street, say, here, hold this phone and just follow this guy around.
Yeah.
It'll work. So please straighten that out. You know, yes, if you'd like me to do it, I gladly will. If you don't, get somebody else. I'm sure there's people just as cheap as me. Anyway, so, but yeah, awesome.
Watch it anyways, so it just helps.
Yeah, and you know what? I think DECA leads itself really well to a stream too because it's shorter. It's faster paced, right? You got, I mean, like you say, people are doing the 500 meter loop, so they're only running half as long. You get less time on the running. There's more switch between, you know, stations, activities, DECA zones, whatever the case you want to call them. There's more switching. There's more change up. It's great. And it's over in like, you know, let's just say between 30 and 40 minutes as opposed to High Rocks, which is going to be roughly an hour to an hour and 20. So get it together, boys.
Yeah.
It's a quick question for you. How fast can you run a 50K?
Oh my gosh.
I don't know.
Four hours.
So what was her name? I can't remember who her name was.
Oh, Desiree Linden.
Yeah, so lay it out there. Tell us what she did.
Yeah, so this weekend, I was super pumped about this. And I heard a lot of the hype before. So, because Desiree has been someone I followed. I'm from that world of track and road racing. So I followed her for 15 years or more. Two-time Olympian. So she's an American distance runner. So this weekend, and she'd been hyping it up a little bit. Good for her. She's like, put my goals out there. Her goal was to break the 50K world record. And she smashed it by 7 minutes. And she ran, 50K in 2:59. So she broke the 3 hour mark for 50K. And the 3 hour mark, if you're a marathoner, is a very, very big deal for 42.2K. So, and she did 8K more in 2:59. So, pretty remarkable. And this was her first real race experience at this event, which also makes it that much more exciting. So Desiree, she was fourth at the Olympic trials in 2020, which is probably the worst place to be. And in the States, obviously, their Olympic trials is top three go on. Canada, it's a weird selection that's really confusing. But
no surprise.
Yeah. It's really complicated. And it's more of a selection committee based on a bunch of different things. So, but in the US they have a race, top three go. So Des Linden was fourth, which really sucks. So then she started switching her focus to different things. So she focused on two majors, but both majors were canceled. So she's like, I've been running a ton of mileage. I'm going to go for this world record. And yeah, she went for it. It was a small race situation. And yeah, she crushed it. So she went through her marathon. Her marathon split was 2:31. So for reference sake, 2:35 is the A standard to qualify for the Olympics for countries. Every country can have their own Olympic standard above that, but 2:35 is the A standard to qualify for the Olympics. So she passes, she flies through the Olympic standard in the marathon and then goes on to finish in a 2:59.
So,
and I don't know if you've seen the video of her finishing, it's like she just went out for a Sunday jog.
So like I was just doing quick math, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't that about like 335, 340 per kilometer?
Yeah, so that's a 336 kilometer. So she averaged 18-minute kilometers the whole way. 18-minute 5Ks the whole way.
Because I was going to say, so her 5K pace over that is faster than my 5K pace for a 5K.
Right.
And I'm like, that's just depressing.
And you have to think too, like she's fueling in there. She would have done it on the fly, but that's a whole other, she's nailed this down obviously for being a marathoner. But it's not just, there's more that goes into this than just running really fast. You're going for a really long time at a very high intensity. So you have to get all that right.
It's crazy. Like I can't fathom that. I can't.
18 minute 5Ks 10 times over.
Yes, she is a cyborg.
And she finishes, pops a bottle of champagne, starts. She drank it. She had a shot out of her shoe.
Oh, that's disgusting, actually.
Yeah.
That's pretty gross. That's pretty bad. Yeah. Like, I mean.
So she has plans now to kind of move into some ultra stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Well, clearly, yeah. I mean, it's not a bad idea.
Yeah, and I mean, it's exciting for the ultra world too, because I find sometimes it doesn't get as the publicity that it's worth. And so to have someone like Des Linden, who's been in the American spotlight in distance running for, you know, 15, 16 years, if not longer, from her collegiate years as well, to say, so she said she, her goals now are Comrades and UTMB. So those are pretty major ultra marathons.
The UTMB, like I'm not an ultra gabby. I've heard of UTMB. What's that one? That's.
Yeah. So that's trail.
Trail. So, yeah. So that could be different for her though, right? Cause I mean, that's going to be a change in like.
Yeah. So we see, you talked to with, when Kara Goucher went, switched to a trail marathon, how she was like, it was the hardest thing I've ever done.
Yeah, well, even for like, I mean, even you went from track to OCR, yeah. Right? So, I mean, that. You see,
blew my mind. Yeah, how it was totally not the same thing at all. You, like I've talked about this before too, but when you're a track and you're a road runner, it's just about your rhythm. And when you watch Des run too, and you're running, you just get in your rhythm. And she has such a smooth, fluid stride, and she just goes. So when you get into trail stuff, you don't get into that rhythm. You're always kind of having to move with the terrain, and it's different. So. But good for her. Bring more publicity to that world too, because it's pretty awesome.
I've never found that rhythm. Not once.
What is this rhythm thing?
Rhythm is no. My rhythm is just pant and grunt until I can't, which is about 35 minutes. Then I fall over. Okay, so another topic here. And I don't think we got a chance to address it. This has happened a little while ago and we didn't get a chance to address it. Is Spartan announced Team Canada?
Yeah.
We'll go by why that's kind of pointless anyway, but we're going to say who they are anyway, because they deserve recognition. They're amazing people. And I will read off to you Team Canada. We have, and I believe this might even be in alphabetical order. We have Amanda Nadeau, Austin Azar, Ariel Fitzgerald, Jesse Bruce, Christian, and I'm so sorry, Christian. Do you know how to say his last name?
No.
Why Clock?
You know, it does not sound.
Christian W. Sorry, buddy. Bethany McChesney, Mick Jarello, Jessica Lemon, Lindsay Webster, heard of her, Ryan Atkins, heard of him, Morgan McKay, Samuel Ebert, Sean Stevens Whale, and Sylvie. And you, how do you say Sylvie's last name? You know that one, don't you?
Menagerie.
Yeah, that sounds right. Anyway, so same team as would have been for 2020. So it only makes sense that they bring them back. That's great. Now here's why it's pointless. Because we just had, again, we've had our first two Spartan races of the season canceled. They have rescheduled one for, they had on Ottawa and Quebec, and they rescheduled them as a combined race somewhere in Quebec, I assume, midway between Ottawa and Montreal, which, I mean, there's not a lot of space midway between Ottawa and Montreal, so somewhere in there. So that's been rescheduled, but we've lost that. And then we're pinning all of our hopes pretty much on Blue Mountain mostly. And, and they did announce as well a Canadian series of two races.
Okay, so Red Deer and Blue Mountain?
Red Deer and Blue Mountain.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
And I believe it's a Super in Red Deer and a Beast at Blue Mountain. Now, wait. Yeah, go ahead. Just do it. Just go with where you're going, because I know you're thinking the same thing.
I don't know. It's all just like fairy tale to me at this point.
It is. But let's just say for argument's sake, it all happens, right? And I'm really hoping, for argument's sake, it does happen, because I want it to happen very badly. And I know Spartan Canada is working their ass off trying to make it happen. This is not their fault. This is them following guidelines. They have no choice. They are doing their best.
Yeah.
And for all these canceled races, by the way, they're transferring membership or transferring registrations. And as well, they have told people with seasons pass in 2021 that it is extended all the way through 2022 as well. So even if you, from my understanding, even if you get a race in this year, you still have a season for 2022 as well. So
that's good.
Good for them. Great job, Spartan Canada. But here's a couple of things that are a little bit off, obviously. The chances of it happening, especially Red Deer, because that's coming soon, I think are pretty slim.
But you always have to look at the province, because our provinces have been pretty different. And I know that some provinces, Alberta has been opening up a little bit more.
Yeah, a little bit. But I think that right now, I still, have my doubts about.
Yeah.
But ready. I hope again. Hope it happens.
Yeah.
And Blue Mountain as well. Hope it happens. But here's the thing that kind of gets me about the scheduling. Red Deer Super makes sense. Great. Good idea. Mm. The Blue Mountain Beast. Here's the problem is like they're having the Ultra at Blue Mountain. And I mean, that's going to be huge. Like people, I know all of those pros that I've talking to on that team want to run that Ultra, but they wanted to race that Ultra. They want it to be the big time show. And now the Beast is going to be for the Canadian Series. And you see where I'm getting at? So now it's, and I mean, this is you. I mean, I don't think you were really lining up the Ultra too much, but it would put you in that situation. Like, I mean, I think of Mick Drella, who I know was dying to run that Ultra.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. He was so hyped to run that Ultra. And now he's got to put his, you know, if he wants to do the National Series and win the money, essentially, because there'd be good cash with it.
Yeah.
He's got to focus on that Beast instead. And then the Ultra becomes, I don't know, do they do it or not? If I was Spartan Canada, I might have went out on the limb and said, you know what? Here, yeah, we'll do a Super and Red Deer. And then Ultra is part of the series. Just why not? Do it. I know you hate that. But I'm just saying, because that's going to be such a main event. That if it happens, that's going to be a monstrous race. You might as well make it the big show. That's where I would go with it.
It would be really interesting.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It seems a little...
It would be a lot of people's first ultras.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. It'd be fun.
Okay.
All of a sudden, Morgan becomes a severe favorite.
Yeah.
So okay. I think, anyway, that's just...
That would be really interesting if they did that.
Yeah, it would be very interesting and it could be a lot of fun. So
I'd have to really beef up my mileage over the summer.
Yeah. So that's kind of our situation with Spartan.
Yeah.
You've heard me go on many times about Course Extreme and Dead End Race at North 45 in Quebec, and where I have said, if they're planning a race, it's going to happen. Now, they are planning a race for May 15th. Sorry, take it back. They're planning an activity.
Yeah.
An obstacle activity for May 15th. And I still will, you know, I'm still willing to bet it will happen. But here's the problem that personally I'm suffering from. We can't go to Quebec now. We're on provincial lockdown.
Oh.
So even the people in Ottawa who are like an hour and a half away can't go there. So I feel bad because, I mean, that's going to hurt Course Extreme's numbers a bit. And on a personal note, I was definitely dying to go there. So
I didn't realize that. I don't know why this is the first time I've realized that. Okay.
Yeah. Provincial lockdown. You're not allowed to switch across provinces right now.
All the rules confuse me so much.
Oh, it's a head shaker. But don't worry. They're changing daily. So it's okay.
Well, parks were closed for a day and then they reopened.
That's right.
So maybe it'll be the same at the interprovincial. But it's also, isn't it non-essential cross-provincial only?
I don't know. I would assume, you know, truckers and things like that can do that. But I don't think going for my obstacle activity will constitute a good enough reason for them. Yeah. And, you know, we obviously we have not said very much politically on our podcast ever. We deliberately avoid it.
Yeah.
But I do want to say, like, to a lot of the Ontario police, good job. Nicely done. Proud of you all.
Yeah.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Standing up for what's right. Good job.
Yeah.
So that is a bit of a pain. You know, I'm just, I was looking forward to that. That was going to be a good one. Hopefully by June. You know, or whatever, I think near the end of May, this is supposed to be done or whatever. No, May 20th. So like a couple of days after the May 15th race, it's supposed to be done. So yeah. Oh, the activity, sorry.
The activity.
After the activity, it'll be done. And hopefully the big one for me is with them in July, Dead End will be having a race and it might actually be a race or it could be an activity. We don't know. But that'll be like July 15th, and that's going to be an awesome full weekend event. So I really want that to happen. So please don't lock us down for that if you don't mind.
I know.
Something else I wanted to mention, since we are, you know, unable to do anything. Force 5 So I'm wearing a Force 5 shirt today. There we go. They are hosting, again, their virtual race that they did, same virtual competition. I guess race is the wrong word. Competition they did last year. They did a really good job with it last year. And I was on record as saying I think it was probably the top or top two virtual competitions done. They did a great job with judging, super creativity in the challenges, really good video instructions. They did a really, really good job. And was really pleased with it. And everybody who knows Force 5 knows it's a great company to do good stuff. Yeah. So they'll be doing it again. And I just got word from Matt tonight at Force 5 that, and they haven't announced this yet, but he told me I'm okay to do this. So it will be an event over 3 weeks. There will not be as many challenges as the last time. They want to make it so that it can fit into people's regular training and not overwhelm them. So it'll be over 3 weeks, probably I'm guessing one event a week. And they should be announcing those very soon. Like, I think within the next week, they'll be announcing more and more details. So,
okay, that's exciting. Good.
Be really good fun. Like last time, I mean, we were doing like hanging towel hand switches, going back and forth on towels. We're carrying bags over and under. And they did everything set up with household items. I mean, we were backpacks with full of whatever weight you could put in it. And
oh, good.
Broomsticks, towels hanging from pole boxes, everything. They were really creative. And I have no reason to believe they won't be just as creative this time. And
good.
It was a great competition. Other than that, what else do we have going on? Hold on, let me see.
Hi, Bethany.
Hi. I miss you.
Oh,
I miss you too.
Actually, you know what? I think that's good. That's all I had. Do you want to put anything else in there? I'll cut that little bit there, but I'm going to leave, and that's all I had.
You're not going to cut anything.
No, I will. So, yeah, that's pretty much caught up for me. That's everything that I wanted to run through. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to hit on.
Yeah, no, that's good for me. Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, everybody, like I said, this one was Beers with Bethany. Cheers.
Cheers.
What is that anyway? What are you drinking there?
Okay, it's Ryan Ginger. It's not beer. I wasn't in the mood for beer.
That's all right, Ryan Ginger. That's a big glass.
What's that? I know. I'm a bit of a beer snob sometimes, and we didn't have any good beer, so I had rye.
Awesome. All right, well, let's sign off. Call it a day. Yeah.
Thanks, everyone. Keep crushing it, whether you can be at live events or virtual or locked in your home here in Ontario. Thanks for giving us something to talk about.